So, welcome to today's deep dive. We've got a really fascinating stack of architectural notes and system specs on the table today, and it really revolves around this universal corporate nightmare.
Oh, yeah. A nightmare is definitely the right word for it.
Right. I mean, for you listening, whether you're a software developer trying to build things, or a product owner trying to ship things, or even an executive just trying to keep the company out of the headlines, you likely know the absolute dread of audit week.
It's the worst.
It is. You've got this massive tension between wanting to deliver software at high velocity and then just the paralyzing fear of regulatory compliance checks.
Yeah, the landscape of regulated delivery is, well, it's traditionally just characterized by total gridlock.
Right.
Organizations want the frictionless assembly line of modern software development, but the moment they hit that compliance boundary, whether that's for, finance, healthcare, critical infrastructure, the entire process just grinds to a
It
halt.
hits a wall.
Exactly. The assembly line essentially turns into a customs checkpoint.
So our mission today is to look at a system called SARC, which stands for Orchestrated Compliance for Regulated Delivery. We're going to unpack these notes to see if it's actually possible to automate that compliance nightmare without giving up control of your data.
Which is the holy grail, really.
But I have to push back right out of the gate here. I look at this market and I see like a million compliance tools. The SaaS market is flooded with dashboards that promise to make SOC2 or ISO compliance super easy. Why do we need to spend time diving into another one? Like, what makes this specific architectural approach worth our attention?
Well, the differentiator here, it fundamentally changes the security model of compliance itself. So SARC is designed to eliminate what the industry calls the spreadsheet tax,
Okay.
but it does so entirely without a SOS token. The architecture is completely self-hosted inside the company's own cloud perimeter. There is zero SOS egress.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we aren't piping sensitive internal data out to a third-party vendor's servers?
None of it.
Because right now, a standard company managing DORA ISO 27001, SOC2, SOX, NIST 853, PSD2, and PCI DSS, which is just a massive alphabet soup of regulatory frameworks, by the way.
It really is, yeah.
They're usually paying this massive recurring subscription fee. And worse, they're handing over the keys to their audit trail to an external company.
And that data egress is inherently risky. I mean, a company's audit trail contains the exact blueprints of its security posture, its
Ah.
infrastructure, and, its internal processes.
Writes the playbook.
Exactly. So SARC approaches this by keeping everything inside the company's walls. It's an open architecture system designed to manage all of those major regulated frameworks from just a single internally hosted installation.
Okay, I understand the security benefit of locking the doors and keeping the data inside. But let's look at this from the perspective of the people actually doing the work. If the data never leaves the company's own cloud environment, how is the system actually collecting the evidence without driving the engineering teams insane? I mean, somebody still has to prove to the regulators that the rules are being followed.
Right, and historically, that burden falls squarely on the shoulders of the software engineer.
Yeah.
The current reality in regulated environments, it forces engineers to act as this, human glue between entirely disjointed systems.
The human glue.
Before a developer can deploy a piece of code, they are required to manually reconcile security findings from just an array of different scanning tools.
The notes mention a whole list of these tools, actually. Snyk, GitLab Security, Wiz, Trivi. And the problem is that these tools don't natively talk to each other in a format that an auditor actually cares about, do they?
Not at all. They serve completely different functions. So, Snyk might be analyzing third-party software dependencies for known vulnerabilities,
Okay.
while Trivi is looking at the container image that holds the application, and then Wiz is scanning the broader cloud posture.
It's all over the place.
It is. So, the engineer is stuck pulling data from each isolated dashboard, cross-referencing it, and then physically attaching things like an SBOM, a software bill of materials, which is basically an ingredient list of the code to a change request ticket.
Man, it's like forcing a Michelin star chef to stop cooking right in the middle of the Friday night dinner rush,
Yes.
just so they can photograph every single grain of salt, every pat of butter, and every sprig of garnish for the health inspector.
That is exactly what it feels like.
You are taking your most highly skilled creators and turning them into administrative assistants for the compliance department. It just completely ruins their velocity and their morale.
The chef analogy perfectly captures the misuse of specialized talent there. So SARC addresses this manual bottleneck by introducing the FIDES ledger.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
FIDES acts as the automated kitchen logbook. Structurally, it's a self-hosted, tamper-evident evidence ledger built on a Go API, utilizing a PostgreSQL database and an encrypted evidence vault.
Let's unpack the mechanics of that ledger a bit. How does the evidence actually get in there if the engineer isn't manually typing it in?
So the evidence flows directly from the CI/CD pipeline, that automated track that takes code from a developer's laptop straight to the production server.
Boy.
As the code moves down that track, the pipeline automatically reports everything into FIDES.
I see acronyms in the source material like SAST and DAST being reported. For anyone listening who might not be in the security trenches every day, let's define those really quickly because they are crucial to how the ledger builds its case.
Good call. So SAST stands for Static Application Security Testing.
Okay.
It scans the raw source code before it even runs, looking for known bad patterns or insecure coding practices. And then DAST is Dynamic Application Security Testing.
So that's when it's running.
Exactly. It interacts with the application while it's actually running, actively trying to find vulnerabilities by attacking it from the outside, much like a hacker would.
Okay, so extending our restaurant metaphor, SAST is reading the recipe beforehand to make sure you didn't accidentally include poison.
Right.
And DAST is taking a bite of the cooked meal to see if it makes you sick.
That captures the dynamic perfectly. And the FIDES ledger automatically captures the results of both those scans, along with the software bill of materials and any identified vulnerabilities, literally without the engineer lifting a finger.
That's huge.
Furthermore, SARC achieves what the documentation calls multi-CI parity.
Meaning it just plugs into whatever assembly line the company is already using.
Precisely. It operates identically whether an engineering team uses GitLab CI, which the sources note as the primary source of truth, actually, or GitHub Actions, or Azure DevOps.
So they don't have to change their tools.
Exactly. The underlying pipeline technology doesn't matter. The engineer avoids the massive friction of migrating to a new platform just to satisfy compliance. They keep shipping code exactly as they always have, while the compliance data is harvested invisibly in the background.
So the ledger is caching all this automated evidence. Great. We've liberated the chefs.
Yes, we have.
But let's follow the logical through line here. Gathering evidence doesn't actually deploy the code. Enterprise banks and healthcare networks, they don't let code go live just because a background ledger says the security scans passed.
Definitely not.
You still have to get past the business gatekeepers. You still have to survive the CAB, the Change Advisory Board.
Right. The business absolutely requires a gating mechanism. And typically, that gating happens inside an IT service management tool like ServiceNow. A critical architectural decision highlighted in our sources is that SARC is built on top of these existing workflows rather than trying to, replace them. It wires the FIDES ledger directly into ServiceNow.
Okay, wait. I need to raise a massive red flag here on behalf of every product owner listening right now.
Let's hear it.
If I connect an automated ledger to ServiceNow and every single code change automatically triggers a compliance change request ticket, aren't we just creating a DDoS attack on the product owner?
Oh, totally.
Like, if a developer fixes a typo on the homepage, does SARC generate a formal ticket that someone has to manually read and approve? Because if so, we haven't solved velocity at all. We just moved the traffic cam from the engineer to the manager.
Right. And a one-to-one manual approval ratio would indeed paralyze the system. But SARC prevents that bottleneck through a risk scoring engine.
Oh, a risk score.
Yeah, the FIDES ledger doesn't just act as a passive storage vault for evidence. It actively calculates a FIDES risk score for every single deployment.
How does that engine actually evaluate risk, though? Like, what is it looking at to determine if a change is just a typo versus something that could take down the entire payment processing system?
Well, it analyzes a combination of factors. It looks at the blast radius of the changed files. So, for instance, modifying a CSS file for visual styling carries inherently lower risk than, say, executing a database schema migration.
Sure.
It checks historical failure rates of the specific service being deployed. It verifies if the code coverage from automated testing dropped. It synthesizes all the SAST, DAST, and vulnerability data. And based on that comprehensive mathematical evaluation, the system intelligently gates the ServiceNow change request.
So it actually separates the trivial from the critical automatically.
It completely bifurcates the approval flow. So if the FIDES risk score indicates a low-risk change, like your example of a text update on a web page, the system auto-clears the change request in ServiceNow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it proceeds to production without any human intervention because the cryptography and the automated checks prove the change is safe.
But if someone is pushing a massive update to the core transaction database.
Right. If the risk score breaches a certain threshold, the system flags the ticket for human eyes.
Okay.
The change advisory board still exists, but their time is no longer wasted on trivial updates. They're only deploying their cognitive load on the changes that genuinely warrant human scrutiny.
That is a massive paradigm shift. You eliminate the absurd scenario where a product team has to wait 48 hours for a CIB meeting just to push a spelling correction to the live environment.
Exactly.
You give the product owners their velocity back while arguably increasing the actual rigor of the security checks because the humans aren't suffering from alert fatigue.
It's a systemic optimization. You respect the time of the creators and the managers while ensuring the compliance posture is mathematically sound.
Okay, so the engineers and the product owners are happy, the code is flowing, but let's look at the top of the pyramid here. What happens when the actual external auditors and regulators show up?
The big boss battle.
Right. Because at the end of the day, when the regulatory body knocks on the door, it's the CEO and the executives who have to answer. How does this system prevent the frantic late-night fire drills that usually accompany an audit?
So SARC shifts the executive experience by creating what the source material describes as one auditable narrative. Because it tracks compliance per change, per environment, and per framework simultaneously, the data is constantly ready. And it achieves this across complex infrastructure through multi-cloud parity.
Let's clarify that multi-cloud aspect, because the notes mention a barrage of Kubernetes jargon here. AWS EKS, Azure AKS, GCP GKE, and local K3rd environments.
That is a mouthful.
It is. For the listener, these are essentially just different flavors of managed cloud environments where a company's code might actually live and run Amazon, Microsoft, Google, or local servers.
And the complexity of modern enterprise architecture often means a company is using several of those platforms at once.
Right.
Normally, managing compliance across Amazon, Google, and Azure requires completely different sets of tools, different deployment scripts, different audit trails.
A total headache.
SARC unifies this with a single target cloud switch.
So you are maintaining three completely separate versions of your compliance infrastructure. You don't have one Terraform script for AWS and a totally disconnected Helm chart for Azure.
No, the underlying infrastructure code remains standard. The Terraform shape, the deployment mechanics, it's uniform. And this standardization is incredibly valuable for a chief technology officer.
I can imagine.
But returning to your point about the CEO facing an audit, the true end of the fire drill comes from the cryptographic nature of the FIDE's ledger. The ledger uses a hash-chained audit log.
Let's break down that mechanism, a hash chain. I think a good way to visualize this for the listener is to imagine a digital game of Jenga.
Oh, I like that.
Where every block is a piece of compliance evidence. If an engineer tries to go back and secretly pull out or alter a block of evidence from 3 months ago, the cryptographic math of the entire tower completely collapses.
The Jenga tower is an excellent conceptual model. Each entry in the database contains a cryptographic hash of the entry that came before it.
Right.
So if historical data is tampered with, the subsequent hashes no longer match, instantly revealing the tampering. The auditor doesn't have to take the CEO's word that the data is accurate.
The math proves it.
Exactly. The mathematics prove that the historical record is immutable.
That completely eliminates the "where did we save that screenshot" panic of audit week. There was no physical or digital audit binder frantically assembled at the 11th hour.
Right. The data is a living, breathing entity. Our sources point out that a CEO can sit down with a regulatory auditor and show them the exact same dashboard that the change advisory board chair uses on a random Tuesday.
Unbelievable.
The organization doesn't have to spend 3 weeks building a scrubbed, sanitized auditor view of the data.
But wait, I have a major mechanical question here.
Okay, lay it on me.
We established at the very beginning that the entire selling point of SARC is zero SaaS egress. The evidence is securely locked inside the company's own firewall. There is no external web portal.
That's right.
So if I am an external auditor from a federal regulatory body, how do I actually look at this data? Do I have to wait 3 weeks for the company's IT department to provision me with a secure VPN, cloud access keys, and complex database permissions?
Providing secure, frictionless access to an external auditor without breaking the security perimeter is historically incredibly difficult. But SARC solves this through its most sophisticated feature, which is a self-hosted AI assistant called Ask AI.
An AI auditor. Okay, but if it is an AI, isn't it sending the audit data out to the public internet to be processed by OpenAI or Anthropic?
Mm-hmm.
That would violate the zero egress rule immediately.
It would. Which is exactly why Ask AI operates on an in-cluster CPU model.
Oh.
The artificial intelligence model is actually running locally on the company's own hardware deep inside their secure boundary. It requires zero external API keys or cloud connections.
Okay, so the AI is locked in the basement with the data.
Basically.
But how does the external human auditor talk to the AI?
So SARC utilizes a Model Context Protocol Server, or MCP. Think of the MCP as a highly secure, restricted translator. The external auditor is granted a time-boxed magic link session.
So they click a secure web link that automatically expires after, say, 48 hours.
Yes. And through that temporary session, the auditor can query the evidence ledger using plain English. They do not need to know SQL.
Wow.
They don't need to understand the complex relational schemas of a PostgreSQL database. The auditor simply types, you know, show me all the SOC2 compliance evidence for database changes in the financial ledger over the last quarter.
And what is the mechanism there? The AI reads the English, and then what?
The in-cluster AI model parses the English intent. It then uses the model context protocol to translate that intent into a safe, read-only database query.
Oh, that's smart.
The database returns the raw evidence, and the AI translates that data back into a comprehensive, plain English report for the auditor.
So the auditor gets exact, verifiable answers instantly.
Instantly. And the company never had to grant them deep infrastructural access.
That is just brilliant. It takes compliance from being this purely defensive mechanism where you are just bracing for impact and trying to survive the auditor's questions, and turns it into a proactive capability.
It really shifts compliance from a reactive cost center to an active business lever. I mean, when you have a perfectly maintained real-time ledger of everything happening in your software environment, you can use that data to drive actual business efficiency.
Let's talk about the bottom line then. How does this system actually save a company money beyond just avoiding regulatory fines? Because I saw a phrase in our source notes that stood out, cost-vuln correlation. Cost-to-vulnerability correlation.
That feature is amazing. It represents the intersection of security and finance because the FIDES ledger is tracking both the infrastructure configuration, so how many servers you were running, and the security vulnerabilities of the code on those servers. It can correlate the two data sets.
Give me a real-world scenario of how that works. Like, break that down for me.
Okay, imagine a company is running a container image for their application that has an unpatched memory leak, or maybe a critical security vulnerability that requires them to over-provision their cloud servers just to keep the application stable and secure.
Throwing money at the problem.
Exactly. The system analyzes this and can literally output a directive saying, if you assign an engineering team to fix this specific vulnerability, you can switch to a lighter, more efficient infrastructure footprint, which will save the organization $10,000 a month in AWS run costs.
So instead of a security alert just screaming, fix this because it's dangerous, it's giving you a financial imperative. Fix this because it is actively draining our budget.
Yes.
That is a language that every chief financial officer and CEO on the planet understands instantly.
It aligns the priorities of the security team, the engineering team, and the finance department into a single actionable metric.
That's incredible.
And in addition to that, the system tracks standard door metrics. It automatically monitors the velocity and stability of the software delivery, and it handles CMDB reconciliation.
Making sure the company's configuration management database perfectly matches the reality of what is running in the cloud.
Exactly.
Wow. Let's take a step back and look at the whole board, because for you listening, we have covered an immense amount of architectural ground today. What we are looking at with SARC is essentially a fundamental rewiring of how regulated software is built, approved, and audited.
It really systematically dismantles the friction at every single stage of the lifecycle.
It gives software engineers their time and their sanity back by completely automating the collection of evidence through the pipeline.
Yes.
It gives product owners their velocity back by intelligently scoring risk and automatically clearing low-level ServiceNow tickets, which stops the CAB bottleneck.
Right.
It gives CTOs the open architecture freedom they want, providing multi-cloud and multi-CI parity without forcing massive migrations.
Exactly.
And most importantly, it gives the CEO and the executive team total peace of mind. It kills the audit week fire drill by providing a mathematically immutable hash-chained ledger while maintaining absolute data sovereignty through zero-SOS egress.
It is a profoundly robust solution to a problem that, quite frankly, most enterprises have just accepted as an unavoidable cost of doing business. The architecture proves that compliance does not have to equal gridlock.
It absolutely proves that. And as we wrap up today's deep dive into the source material, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, especially regarding that self-hosted AI auditor we discussed.
Oh, yes.
Think about the implications of an AI model running entirely on your own internal servers, querying a tamper-evident hash-chained ledger using a secure protocol, and perfectly satisfying a federal regulator's questions in plain English.
It's wild to think about.
If a system can do all of that without ever sending a single byte of your proprietary data to a third-party cloud provider, does this mean the era of paying massive, recurring, multi-million-dollar SaaS subscriptions just to prove you are following the rules is finally coming to an end?
It certainly suggests a massive shift in the tectonic plates of the enterprise software industry. I mean, when the technology allows you to own your data and automate the evidence, the traditional SaaS compliance model begins to look completely obsolete.
It really does. Because when the regulator knocks on the door, maybe you don't need a bloated subscription service or a frantic team building an audit binder. Maybe you just need a better, smarter ledger. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.